Welcome back. One baseball note, the Atlanta Braves have signed Joseph Bats, Jose Bautista, to a one-year minor league deal. Jose Bautista trending right now. He gets a one-year deal with the Braves. It is a minor league contract. All right, starting off this third hour, phone lines are open. Go ahead and use that number. You know what it is. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'd encourage that. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I want to start hour number three by talking some NBA. We've hit the NHL. We've hit the NFL. We've talked Major League Baseball. Let's talk NBA playoffs. Now listen, I'm never going to say something just to say something. I'm never going to say something just to get you all to look at me or react to me or click something for me. Not my deal. It's not my deal to open up my mouth and have all this hot lava run all over the studio. Not on this pristine white desk. I hate to melt this thing down. I'm not here to say something inflammatory just to get some whack reaction on Twitter. Just know, I think about everything I say before I say it. I say what I mean what I say. I think about everything. I never go off half-cocked. So let me say this. Celtics head coach Brad Stevens is a freaking wizard. Like an actual, genuine practitioner of magic. Like somebody who went to sorcery school. He's got giant books with incantations. He can call thunder from the sky at a moment's notice. This guy's like a magic user, a spellcaster, an enchanter. Hey, listen, it's not something I would say lightly either. I take this stuff very seriously. In this day and age, if you gloss somebody a genuine wizard, you better back it up. You better have the evidence to back it up, and I do. Boston, 120. Milwaukee, 106. The Celtics scored 120 in a playoff game without Gordon Hayward, without Kyrie Irving, without Marcus Smart. Jason Tatum had 4 points, and they still put 120 up in a playoff game, and they made it look really easy. Yes, the players deserve a lot of the credit. Jaylen Brown was a force last night, going for 30. That makes him the youngest Celtic ever to hit that mark in a playoff game. He's got all the makings of a guy who's going to be nasty to deal with in the years to come. But see, that's kind of the point. He's not supposed to be this good this quickly. Al Horford had 16 points and 5 boards. But it's not like the rest of these guys are household names. In fact, Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe didn't even know who one of them was.
Terry Rozier's gotten off to a strong start to the series. No turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Uh-oh! My man Terry Rozier. So that's Ben Golver. And he was right. Ben's right. He's gotten off to a really good start. My man Terry Rozier is the guy who's gone for 23 back-to-back. It might be time for you to figure out exactly who that guy is. Look, I can understand basketball fans on the West Coast maybe not being super familiar with Rozier. He's only started 16 games in his career. But if this cat goes for 23 in game one and 23 in game two, you might want to get to know a little something about that dude. Especially when he nearly severed your legs at the knees at the end of game one.
The chance to go one-on-one and finish the game off.
Bledsoe guarding Rozier with 5 fouls. He goes by, a little crossover, step back, wide open, and it's good! Ooh. And Boston has the lead! Terry Rozier!
And it's for Brown, but Rozier takes it on himself, and he puts Bledsoe on skates. Wow! What a shot by that young man.
Uh-oh! TNT with that call. Listen, unless Brad Stevens has cast some sort of invisible spell or invisibility spell on Terry Rozier or a temporary blindness spell on you, I suggest you figure out who the bleep this guy is. Then again, maybe Eric Bledsoe is pretending to not know who Terry Rozier is because of this comment from Rozier after game one.
They're very tall and athletic, so just move the ball offensively and get great shots. And defensively, just play long, show your arms. You know, Giannis, he loves to push the ball. Drew Bledsoe, he loves to push the ball. You got Chris Middleton, who makes tough shots, and we just try to limit them.
Yes, he did say that Giannis likes to push the ball, and so does Drew Bledsoe. Yes, he said Drew instead of Eric Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, I don't think that was an intentional slap by Eric. And by the way, there are a lot worse things that you can be called than the same name as a Super Bowl champion, a four-time Pro Bowler, and a legendary and iconic winemaker.
Drew Bledsoe.
And even if it was an intentional insult, I'm not sure that Drew wouldn't have been any better for the Bucks than Eric has been. I know there's a decent chance that he could have given the team something better than that 4 of 12 shooting, 5 turnover, 6 foul performance that Eric Bledsoe had in Game 1. Drew probably could have done that. Except Bledsoe's nightmarish series probably has something to do with the guy that I started talking about in the first place, Stevens. It all comes back to Stevens. That's how good of a coach he is. After a performance like that, you would think that Brad Stevens would be happy. If he was, he didn't seem to want to show it, because when talking about the team's defense on the Greek Freak, it sounded like you want to throw up or fight somebody instead.
Second game in a row, I feel like we did a great job on Giannis. He ended up 13 of 17 for 30 points. He's impossible to guard.
My man sounds disgusted. He sounds revolted by the whole thing.
He's impossible to guard.
Practically disgusted with how good Giannis is. Like, he's revolted. You can see the disdain that he has for how good this guy is. And I mean that as a compliment. And that's with a 2-0 series lead and his team completely busted up. I mean, this dude's practically John Wooden. Or better. I'll be honest. I didn't see the rest of his press conference, but I'm just assuming that it ended with him disappearing in some sort of sorcerer's puff of smoke and going back to some ancient hall beneath the earth or some mysterious tower in the clouds where he breaks down film and works on his special potions and defensive rotations. Because this dude is a wizard, a flat out modern day wizard, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Brad Stevens is unbelievable. I mean, you're never supposed to make that move from the college game to the pro game and have any success, much less make that move from the college game to the pro game and be one of the best at the pro level. Straight up, one of the best basketball coaches on any level I've ever seen. And working that magic again right now. He's doing an incredible job. 1-800-636-8686. Back to Wisco. A lot of Wisconsin talk. Packers. Callers in Wisco. Benny resides in Wisco. Let's go there right now. Benny, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. Hopefully the Bucks can turn this around once they get back home. I learned from listening to your radio show that this Giannis guy has really long arms. But I wanted a quick hit on the Rodgers situation. Despite how unhappy he is rumored to be seemingly every offseason, bar an injury, he puts them in a position to do a postseason damage. Because you can throw any group of human beings in pads in front of Rodgers, and he'll throw seeds to them and be successful. So to anyone who's silly enough to believe that they don't consider the thoughts and feelings of the best player in the NFL, or believe that the Packers front office is dumb enough to do anything that would push this franchise's recent existence away, you need to do what Caleb does after consuming too much cheese and relax. Speaking of Caleb, since he called and tore apart Adam Hawk's non-existent dye job the other day, does that mean that it's open season on whatever the hell I want? Like, I can just make stuff up and go in on it? Because I've been itching to run smack on Alvy's deep, confident radio voice, Hawk's trustworthy and existent backbone, Keith Arnold's always professional composure and complete lack of a goofy smile during every occasion, and Austin Huff's personality. And to the champ, for only a couple more months left, although you did a pretty good job of listing off Caleb's shortcomings the other day, you forgot a couple minor details, like the fact that he once tried to eat a Rolex Oyster Perpetual, or that he keeps a 64-ounce jar of strawberry preserves in his glove box that he calls traffic jam for when he's on the road and needs a snack. And also, Lef, your brand seems to be responding to callers the same day, so I'm going to put you on the clock, and I'd like you to finish this joke for me. What do Miami Hampers and fake gangster callers from Indy have in common? I look forward to your response, idiot. Out.
Isco, I'll say it again. It's smack off season. It's bringing everybody out. Lots of clone on clone crime, jungle beefs. The guy just lit the XR4TI on fire. Benny in Wisco coming in. Wisconsin making the show better. Wisconsin making it much better. Caleb was in yesterday. Leff and Laguna's gone back to back. Leff and Laguna is the two-time defending Smackoff champion. This guy will go an entire year without calling the program. This guy literally could win the championship and not defend it once until the day of the event and win again. If I'm not mistaken, I'd have to go back and look at our charts. But this guy, I know for a fact, will go several months at a time without checking in, yet call it 2 days in a row. Is there any way this guy would go back to back to back? The two-time defending champ, even more unlikely than him winning the Smackoff 2 years in a row, would be him calling 3 days in a row on a non-Smackoff day. And time's running out, but it's not too late. Anybody else? It's heating up. It is Smackoff season. I haven't even dropped the date on you yet, and people are coming in. Fake Kellen Winslow tweets, I don't know who the bleep he is. Signed Adam Hawk every time he hears the name of a sports personality.
I don't even know who that is.
12 Wood is in. I once called Drew once too. Signed Jim Rome.
Hey,
I was called Drew once too.
Oh man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
Sorry about that, Wood. I was called Drew once too. Signed Jim Rome.
Oh man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
Really quickly. Albie, we've done it before. I think it's worth doing one more time. Slow that thing all the way down so people can fully appreciate how badly this kid flamed out. He was trying to say, hey, Jim. Hi, Jim. Nice to be on the show. Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Jim. This is what hi, Jim turned out to be in slow motion. Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Drew. Oh, man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
That was Kyle in Green Bay. I don't like that call. That's him on acid. Drew the Jumpman Gillett. How do you get... That's an all-timer. How do you go from Jim to Drew the Jumpman Gillett? Oh, man, I'm flaming. Now my man's got some ink to commemorate the event. Oh, man, I'm nervous. I'm flaming. It's an all-timer. Dude, not only did he do that on the air, he got it tattooed on him to commemorate it as well. And I met him in Minneapolis. And that's how that went down. I signed it, and then he tattooed my signature. Still way better than Hawk getting a tattoo of his cat, Griffey the cat. Dude, Griffey the cat. Did your dog, Jay Buhner, not want any of that at all? Come on, man. This dude's got a cat named Griffey and got a tattoo of it. When we come back, dude, did your bird, Lou Piniella, not want any of that either? Come on, man. Did your goldfish, Edgar Martinez, not get jealous when he saw that ink of Griffey the cat? How about that parakeet, Joey Cora? He didn't want any? Come on, Hawk. You gotta love all your animals the same. Come on, man. Will Brinson joins me when we come back. He's a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. We're gonna break that thing down with him in about 5 minutes. Do not go. Getting max performance out of anything depends on what you put into anything. As an example, if you want to achieve max performance at work, you put in the extra effort. When you want max performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And most of all, when you want maximum performance from your vehicle, you drop in Castrol Edge. This is really easy. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. modern engines are smaller, they're more powerful, and they operate at higher pressures than ever before. The pressure in the engine is as much as five cars resting on a high heel. Higher engine pressures cause significant stress on the oil, so the oil has to be stronger than ever, and it has to stay that way. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology, which helps to reduce friction and at the same time maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That's not me just spitting that out. That's according to the Kurt Orban test. If Orban says it, it is true. Put it in your car today. Castrol Edge. I'm talking about Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Albie, check out the way you're rocking those headphones backwards. I like it. Dude, it's bad enough that in Wisconsin they're killing us. I don't need you doing it too. Come on, man. It's not even funny, bro. Right now we're joined by a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. He is also the host of the Pick 6 podcast. NFL Draft coming up shortly. Joining us now to break it all down is Will Brinson. My man, Will, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, what's going on, man? I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, Will. Thanks for doing it. Let me first ask you about that report this morning about Tom Brady not being committed, Will, to playing in 2018. Even though people who are close to him expect him to be back, you've seen the report. What is your reaction to it?
Well, you know, when I woke up this morning, I had the same sort of situation. I couldn't commit to eating breakfast, but I felt pretty strongly that I was going to. And I mean, I think that's sort of where Tom Brady falls, right, Jim? This is a highly competitive guy who has hit the ripe age of you know, 40 and beyond. And I think with the tensions that have gone on between the Patriots and Belichick and Brady and all of that, and you have Gronk reportedly miffed about his his interest in the TB12 diet, it seems a little bit like this is a situation where maybe Tom Brady would like to fire sort of a shot back, just to remind the Patriots that he is in fact Tom Brady. Maybe he wants a little bit more cash, but I think at the end of the day, it's just like Ben Roethlisberger last year. This is a guy in Tom Brady who's going to play in 2018. And I don't think he's going to leave him hanging after they traded Jimmy Garoppolo.
Will Brinson joining us. He's the host of the Pick 6 podcast and a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. All right, Will, what about the other report then? You've got Aaron Rodgers and the report from Charles Robinson that Rodgers is, quote, frustrated, quote, emotional about decisions that were made that involved his quarterback's coach and Jordy Nelson. What do you make of that? I mean, Rodgers himself didn't lend much credence to it. He had that amusing tweet about how the team's official article needed more clickbait. What is your sense then about the dynamic between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
I think what Aaron Rodgers wants is for the Green Bay Packers to not necessarily give him personnel control, and he needs to understand that that's not going to happen. But I think he wants, just like Brady, he's a veteran quarterback, an inquisitive, millennial-style veteran quarterback who wants to be, you know, consulted with these decisions, perhaps. I think at the very least, Jim, what happened was they decide to release Jordy Nelson, who's Aaron Rodgers' top target, Aaron Rodgers' best friend on the team, and they also get rid of his quarterback's coach. You know, I mentioned Ben Roethlisberger and the retirement stuff with Tom Brady. I think there's a Ben Roethlisberger comparison that works here, too. Remember when Bruce Arians was let go or, you know, quote-unquote retired in Pittsburgh and they brought in Todd Haley? This is not a situation that made Ben Roethlisberger happy. And I think this is the same thing for Aaron Rodgers, where they are having some circumstances changing for him this offseason. It's taking him a little bit out of his comfort zone, and he probably doesn't like it. I don't blame him. None of us like change, especially when you're, you know, if you're wildly successful – like Aaron Rodgers, if you feel like you're the face of the franchise, you don't want to deal with change when it's not something that you're the impetus for. And so from that perspective, I think he's trying to send a message. I think ultimately it falls on deaf ears, though, because as you know, besides the fact that the Packers are publicly owned, sort of, you know, this is a situation where they have to do what's best for the team, but they do have to tread a little bit lightly because this is a future contract negotiation bomb waiting to happen if you really make Aaron Rodgers mad.
Will Brinson joining us. I agree with you, Will. I mean, they do have to do what's best for the team, but what's best for the team might be giving the quarterback some input, given who that quarterback is and what he knows. It might be not aggravating your franchise quarterback, but then again, they don't have to, right? Because he's under contract for 2 years, and then they can franchise him each of the 2 years after the fact. They've got the hammer. He doesn't. But what about this angle, Will? What about Jimmy Graham? If Jimmy Graham has a huge year, does it all just go away? And then conversely, if Graham does not have a big year, does it become an even bigger issue?
100%. You know, if you take Jordy Nelson and you get rid of him, and as Jason Lockenford pointed out on the podcast with me this morning, let's say you bring in Odell Beckham instead of Jimmy Graham. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is complaining publicly, or is he like, hey, man, I really love what you guys have done from a personnel standpoint? Yeah, if Jimmy Graham catches 12 to 15 touchdowns and is a dynamic red zone threat, and Devontae Adams remains that outside weapon, and the offense start, you know, really gets going and clicks in an MVP-style fashion for Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to be complaining come January of 2019. Now, if it's a sinking ship, if it's a disaster, and the offense isn't good, and Jimmy Graham struggles to really be an impact player, then I think you'll see him become a little more frustrated. And, Jim, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because we've seen this from the Packers out of the gate, maybe a slow start. It wouldn't be surprising to see some coded, vague messages from Rodgers if the Packers aren't an explosive offense in September.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, joining us. You mentioned Odell Beckham. Will, what about Dez Bryant? Now, Dez Bryant says he does not want to play in Green Bay, but he would be very interested in playing with the Giants. What kind of a market do you think there will be for Dez Bryant?
It's going to be the opposite of what Dez thinks it is. Mm. he thinks he is... I mean, if you read that article on 247 Sports from Mike Fisher, you come away, not to rip Dez here, Jim, but you come away with a sense that the guy's a little bit delusional. He didn't want to play for the Patriots because it wouldn't be special to win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Dez, but if you want to win a Super Bowl, you should really consider the Packers or the Patriots, even though you once lost a playoff game in Green Bay. I mean, to me, this is a situation where the Cowboys, because they waited so long to cut him, he is now facing a market that's going to be pretty restricted. There's not a ton of money out there. Teams have largely set their depth charts going into the draft. Teams are going to wait and probably see what they can get in the draft at a cheaper cost than Dez. And he's just not a number one anymore. So I would be really surprised if he comes out of this with a big contract or in a situation where he is the preeminent wide receiver on the team. I think Dez is going to probably have to swallow his pride, take a lesser role, take less money. And if it were me, I would take a lesser role and less money on a team like New England or a team like Green Bay.
And when he takes less money and a lesser role, trust me, he's not going to be happy about it no matter where it is, especially given who the guy is. Now, Will, we're about a week away from the NFL draft, a little bit more than that. So anything you hear right now, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, take, for instance, the case of Josh Rosen. You know, there's so many different reports about this guy. Reports that he's too smart, he's got too many interests outside of football, that Miami is, quote, obsessed with this guy. Ultimately, what is your sense of what those think at the top of the draft about Rosen? Are there genuine concerns that he has all these issues, or a team's trying to deflate his value, hoping that he will fall? What do you think happens with him?
I think ultimately he goes in the top six pick. Jim, I can't see a situation where any of the big four quarterbacks fall that far, because unless Cleveland, if we get quarterbacks to go 1-3 or 1-2-3, Cleveland is going to be in a power pole position at four. And I would be stunned if they can stay there instead of taking the bounty of picks they get in return. And then I think you're going to see a similar setup for maybe the Broncos and maybe the Colts at 5-6, depending on how things play out. I just think teams are going to trade up for those quarterbacks if they fall. And I don't believe for a second that when these teams ultimately watch film and look at Josh Rosen and see what he can do as a pocket passer who can make an impact in 2018 and beyond, certainly, I don't think that any of that millennial stuff, any of that inquisitive stuff is going to be a problem. I mean, look, this is what Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are doing now. And I get that they weren't doing it necessarily coming into the league, but Josh Rosen is just a dude who wants to know why. That's a good thing from a coachability standpoint if you find the right fit. Now, maybe Cleveland's not the right fit. Maybe the Jets aren't the right fit. We'll find out. I just don't see him dropping, because quarterback is too important in this league, and too many teams are too desperate right now, Jim. I think you could make a case half of the league, half of the teams in the first half could potentially draft a quarterback just because of veteran situation, whether it is the Chargers, the Patriots, you know, the Cardinals, the Ravens, I mean, the Steelers, all of these teams are going to be interested. It's going to be a pure economic play here that's going to get them drafted high.
It seems to me, Will, there's a lot of reasons. Maybe you might not like Josh Rosen. Maybe you've got concerns about his durability. Maybe there are other questions. But the fact that maybe he is inquisitive or is too smart, that's like the worst reason imaginable. What? Me, I'm not going to take the dumb quarterback. I'm going to take a smart quarterback. Last thought, Will. You have never been afraid to tackle the tough issues of the day, both in the NFL and outside of it. So let me hit you with this. Grocery shopping with headphones Is that okay? And if it is okay, is that a blanket approval for such a move? Or are there some warnings and conditions that come along with it?
It is okay, but there are absolutely warnings, Jim. Look, you can, in a major metropolitan area, grocery shop away with your headphones, but you got to be prepared to deal with the consequences of not staying within the mustard and the mayonnaise. I mean, if you're out here banging into old ladies with a shopping cart because you're listening to the Jim Rome podcast or the Pick Six podcast, then you got to have your privileges revoked. I mean, that's just the bottom line, and you got to be a little careful too. If you're in a small town, you can't go offending the mayor or maybe your banker when you're breezing by them through the salad dressing aisle, trying to jam out to some something on Spotify.
There are consequences. There are repercussions. Man, do it responsibly. I could not agree more. A senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, the host of the Pick Six podcast, Will Brinson, very much on his game a week out of the NFL draft. Great job, Will. Good to get caught up. Thank you.
Always good, Jim. Thanks, man.
Good job, Will. Well done. One of my favorite CBS colleagues, Will Brinson. CBS is an amazing fam. I'm all about everybody. All about everybody who works here. Time now for a sports update. All about everybody who works here. Here's your latest update, first of all. All about everybody who works here, but maybe nobody more so than this guy. The Knight, Sir Rich Ackerman. What's up, Rich? He's got reason, too, because Benny and Wisco cracked him. He's got reason, too, because Alvin yesterday dogged him by not giving him the huge call of the day. Wait, so the guy can win on the biggest day of the year, but he can't win on a non-smack-off day. If I were left, that would piss me off. So we'll see if he calls. Meantime, time for the ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Today's question, Justin in Cleveland, the CFO Carnap Nation enthusiast. Romy, I know you were an avid Crackberry user back in the day. I also know that you're a tech degenerate today. Has anything that has been released in the last 5 years come close to being as awesome as that little trackball on the Crackberry? Let me think about that for a minute. Last 5 years. Let me tell you what I've bought in the last 5 years. Let me tell you what I've bought in the last year. Never mind the last 5 years. iPhone 10. I am an Apple degenerate. I'll own this. iPhone 10. MacBook Pro with the touch bar. 15-inch, iMac Pro, guilty. Literally, I have bought all three of those in the past year. That's how much of a degenerate I am. Can any of those things touch that dirty little Crackberry ball in the middle of the phone? Yeah, I don't know, Justin. That thing was pretty good. Pretty good. Especially when it got all the scum and the filth in it, and then it didn't work. And then you'd always find that one guy that could remove the trackball and clean it. And then put it back in. I don't know, pretty tough. I'm sure Apple won't appreciate my saying that their touch bar was not as cool as Crackberry's little trackball back in the day. Got to go with the Crackberry. I'm feeling pretty nostalgic. I especially liked all the Crackberries with their one-inch displays. How do we used to live on those things? The one-inch display with Brick Breaker. Good times. Ah, yeah, no way. There he is, the champ, the two-time defending champ. He's doing it. He's going back to back to back. Third day in a row. I don't know why he's calling. I don't really care. Lef in Laguna. What's up, champ champ?
What's up, Romy? How you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, man, like celebrity death, you better get used to things coming in threes this year. Three calls in 3 days. A third Smackoff title in 3 years. And speaking of, I don't care where and when the Smackoff is. You could hold that thing yesterday and I'll show up and win it. But back to things of three, Romy. You check out Ice Cube's Big Three League. They just had the draft last week with the likes of Birdman, Bonzi Wells, and Kwame Brown. Now, I'm not saying that nobody wanted to be drafted to this league, but I assume that this thing had more draft dodgers than Vietnam. I mean, ex-NBA players are fleeing to Canada at record pace. Others claiming heel spurs and flat feet. I don't see why, though. I mean, the league sounds totally money. They play shirts and skins. The courts are illuminated by the players' cars' headlights. The PA announcer is using a rolled-up newspaper to yell through. There's automatic timeouts every time the ball rolls into the street. And instead of a banner, Romy, the champions get to hang a pair of sneakers over the power lines. I mean, are you kidding me with this, Jimmy? And Cube wants to expand this league? Wait, from what, half court to full court? Anyways, Jimmy, lastly, I wanted to answer Benny's little riddle from earlier. What do Miami hampers and fake gangster callers from Indy have in common? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know what Benny and Wisco and Cheese have in common. They both stink worse than a Dane Cook butt biscuit. I'll three you later, Jimmy.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Lef, let's just not go for four. Let's not go back to back to back to back. I guess can't rack that call. That's 2 days in a row that Lef's going to call outside of a smack off and not win the huge call of the day. I'm not going to answer that riddle, but I've got another one for you. The defending champ in 3 days in a row. So is he going to make it four? I really don't know. It depends on who tries to take a run at him tomorrow or who says, hey, riddle me this, Lef. Lef in Laguna. That's just a small taste of what you're going to get. And he said it. I don't care what day it is. You can hold this thing yesterday and I'd win three in a row. And 2018, the year where all things come in three, celebrity deaths, back-to-back-to-back calls during the regular season, and three smack-off titles in a row. He called his shot once again. I can't help but wonder what that guy's going to try this time. Given what he's done already, last year he won when he was able to get a reunion of the SI photo shoot. Guys that I thought were dead, he dug up and he brought into the studio. What do you do to top that? In the short term, Lef, what do you do to top what you just did? Next, 1-800-636-8686. One hockey note before I wrap this thing. Once again, Clark County, represent, 702, represent, Henderson, Summerlin, Vegas. Freaking Vegas is officially, if it was not already, it is now officially a hockey town.
And that's going to do it as the horn sounds and the Knights have ousted the Kings in their historic first ever playoff series victory. Is a clean sweep.
The Desert Dog Golden Knights polished off a strictly business trip in LA by cracking a broom over some skulls and leaving Staples Center with a couple of dozen body bags in tow. A nice, swift ass kicking from an expansion team that shocked the world by winning the division and now just officially put the rest of the NHL on notice by waxing the Kings four in a row. Apparently, the old adage does travel. The house always wins. And for anybody wondering if that regular season success was a little bit fluky or maybe a little bit soft, pretty sure that all that bogus noise was just answered and put to bed once and for all. Ask the Kings, who were straight up abused by a stonewall named Marc-Andre Fleury. The pride of the 2017 NHL expansion draft. A three-time Stanley Cup champ with the Pens. How good was this guy? Let me put it to you like this. John Quick allowed 7 goals in this series and took the L in 4 straight games. Jay Quick allowing 1.75 goals per game through the nets and didn't have anything to show for it. Not even one game. And that's because Fleury inhaled everything that the Kings threw at him. 2 shutouts, 3 goals allowed in 4 games. Marc-Andre Fleury, if you need this guy. And yes, I know it's early, but go ahead and throw this dude's gamer up in the T-Mobile rafters. Why wait? Hell, name a hotel on the strip after this guy right now. You want to put pro sports on the map in a tourist desert town? Go embarrass a team that's won 2 cups in the last 7 years the way this guy just did. The NHL has been around for over 1 century. 101 years, and last night Vegas became the first expansion team to ever sweep a postseason series in their inaugural season. And no matter what happens, the rest of the way, nobody can take that from them. Hell, the Blue Jackets are still trying to win a 3rd game in a series for the first time, and they've been around since Y2K. What I'm saying is, it's a big deal. Very big deal. Expansion teams are not supposed to torch the league in their first year. And if you don't believe me, check out Gerard Gallant, Quote, it's unreal. When you think back to early October, when the season started, we were thinking about competing and playing hard. And now, all of a sudden, we are moving on to the second round of the playoffs. Damn straight, coach. You know you are. And it's looking like a visit to the Shark Tank is in your near future. But not before they have to come to your house and deal with you. Not before they come to your barn and deal with one of the most jacked up, hyped up crowds in all sports right now. Las Vegas, Nevada. Hockey Town, USA. No offense, Detroit. Las Vegas, Nevada. Hockey Town, USA. At Great Blue Dini 4 tweets, come on, just give Leff his Patriot of the Week award and be done with it. It's only Wednesday. He's got work to do. He's Leff coming back for more tomorrow. I can't wait to see. He is 3 for 3. 3 days in a row. It's not too late. You can come in here. Man, my man went in on the big three. I like the big three. I like what Cube's trying to get down there. Dude, they're not playing with headlights. The trophy is not a pair of sneakers thrown over power lines. They don't call timeout when the ball rolls out in the street. Romsky, let me give you some hockey fundies on the hump day. I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong about the Golden Knights. Those guys are playing a firecracker, irritating as hell brand of hockey, and it's working perfectly. Literally. Best series of the playoffs by a mile. Ward the awaiting Canadian invasion. Tyler in Edmonton, well said. Nice job. Way to own that. You're right. At Silly Blonde 503, war cheesy butt biscuits. Hey, bad kitty, don't encourage him. Do not encourage him. I didn't let that stand. Don't encourage it. Look at Leff, out of season. I mean, it's always out of season when he calls outside the smack-off. It's actually smack-off season. But look at Leff coming in here. Knocking suckers out. Shaking it up. So the big question now will be, will he call back tomorrow? I'd say a bigger question would be, are you going to stiff him again today? But he got run. So he can't win, right? No way he can win on day he gets run. Huge call brought to you by 303 Automotive. A premium line of protectants and cleaners designed to keep your car looking new and lasting longer. It is available at most auto parts retailers, or you can simply visit 303radio.com.
Anyways, Jimmy, last day I wanted to answer Benny's little riddle from earlier. What do Miami hampers and fake gangster callers from Indy have in common? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know what Benny and Wisco and Cheese have in common. They both stink worse than a Dane Cook butt biscuit. I'll see you later.
Hi, good show, dude.
I'll see you later. That little blast there, Leff. Busted tweet deck. You proud of yourself, son? You shouldn't be. See you tomorrow, Leff. See you tomorrow. Lee Jenkins, Mike Lee, Will Brinson, and the two-time defending champ all came in. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. I will see all of you tomorrow right back here.